All right. Well, we just heard from Ivan Coyote and Sarah McDougall in town to play the Park Theater. Trader Time is the show. First of all, welcome and thanks for coming in and performing.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
I guess my first question, how does a collaboration like this come about?
We met doing a show for the premieres of Canada up in Whitehorse and instantly got along and then decided to do a collaboration. And Ivan has done a bunch of music and storytelling shows before. So they asked me if I wanted to do something, and here we are.
Yeah, we kind of locked ourselves in a room, and we started with some archival research. Part of the show is we had to do some archival research on this weird old graveyard where they ended up digging everybody up and moving them. So we were in the land titles office and the archives and the library and doing kind of on the ground research, talking to folks in town about it. And then I started crafting the stories, and Sarah was an active part of all of that process. And then we locked ourselves in a room and just started working everything together. So the show's had a couple of different incarnations. We launched it as a duo at first, just to sort of hammer out the stories and the music and see what worked. And then once we got that kind of nailed down, then Sarah went in and did the full score. So tonight we've got clarinet, flute, trombone, Peggy Lee on the cello, electric guitar, melodica, and then the visual component too. So we sort of started with the foundation of the songs and the stories and then took it from there to add the other elements.
I want to back the train up to the archival stuff. Do you like that kind of work? Like, I know some people really, it's like the writers who would prefer to do the research than actually sit down and write the book kind of thing. Is that?
I loved it personally. And it wasn't just archival research. It was like taking people to the spot physically where the old graveyard used to be and asking them what they remembered and like tracking down leads. And everybody was so on board with us. Like, you know, I mean, we had to go to the Parks and Recreation office, and turned out to be a woman I went to high school with when we were kids there. And, you know, and I was like, what, you know, and she got excited about it. Like, I didn't think people were going to get as into it.
Turns out there's a lot of history nerds in Whitehorse who like really care about weird historical things there.
Right.
You know, and then it's a small town too. So my mom like ran into one of the guys whose brother was buried there, and you know, at the Christmas spruce bog craft fair or whatever, and asked him about it. And then I got to talk to him on the phone, and they're like, oh, you should talk to this guy. He keeps archival helicopter images from 1967, and went for coffee with him. And, you know, the land titles office people got really into it. And like, people were very much more excited about obscure ancient Yukon history than we sort of thought. And then, mm-hmm. then the trick is, of course, like translating that to stage and what would be interesting to anyone else possibly. And
so then choosing the visual imagery to accompany the story and song, then are you looking for images that echo what you're saying in verse, or are you like kind of trying to juxtapose?
I think they're echoing. What we did was we have animations, so we sent the recorded stories and songs to the animators, and then they had quite a bit of freedom to come up with what they wanted to do. And so they really go together.
Right. Now, Ivan, the story that you told, I have to imagine that's your own history.
Yeah. The story is really rooted in sort of my the history of both of my grandmothers coming to the Yukon in the late 40s and early 50s. And so it's part family lore, and it's part archival, and it's part anecdotal, and it's part kitchen table story, and then sort of melded and mixed with Sarah's beautiful score. So it's not storytelling in spite of music or music on top of stories. Like, they're very integrally linked.
Mm-hmm.
And they really play off of each other. Like, we're constantly, especially in the creation process, we were constantly listening to each other. And Sarah's grandmother even makes it into there in a strange way.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing, because as we were working on this show, like, our grandparents had, like, both of our grandparents had recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So it just definitely made it into my music. And, of course, like, it's very present in Ivan's stories.
There's another element in the show, too, which is these little audio playback clips that are they're metaphorical radio calls, because when I was a kid, I was obsessed by this show actually called Trader Time.
Mm.
And it was like a call-in, buy-and-sell live program that still airs twice a day in Whitehorse and for an hour on Saturday.
I grew up in Brandon, and they have something similar on the country
station. Yeah, what's it called? I'm really interested to know, because everybody's got a note.
Yeah, I gotta think of it. It's in the recesses of my mind. It's been about like 20 years since I heard that show, tonight. But I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I used those as a writer as kind of these metaphorical call outs to, like, what you need to discard or what you're longing for. And we tracked down the original radio host, Glenn Darling. He was living in Sydney on Vancouver Island, and we went over there and recorded him doing one half of the call, and then we enlisted my family members to do the other parts of the calls, and they're sort of bookends to the stories and the songs. They're sort of.
Had those family members ever made those calls in real life? Like, had they called into that program prior to that?
Oh, I think over the, well, I have a massive family, so
okay.
The chances that one of my 36 cousins or 14 uncles or 12 aunts or my grandparents or everybody's partners and, you know, wives and ex-wives and stuff haven't at some point called into Trader Time, you know. Me and Sarah, actually, they asked us to be guest hosts. It was like a career highlight for me.
It was the best.
We got to go in when, good morning, you're on Trader Time, call 667-7791. Two or three, you know, if you got something to buy, if you're looking to sell.
The token that you mentioned, the St. Jude, and it's funny because I had a Catholic grandmother, and I remember, you know, getting one of those. It makes me think of like an item that's supposed to, like, be emblematic of something larger. And I'm curious, as, you know, a writer, oftentimes you're, work is like an emblem of something larger. Do you think of those in those terms, like, as like what you're putting out into the world as like a token for something or a talisman for people to carry?
I really try to write viscerally, like, from the guts, you know. So there might be elements of that in there if I took it all apart and broke it down.
Mm-hmm.
I really follow the trail of the story, wherever it takes me, and I just try to be open and listening and just follow the story where it goes, and I don't intellectualize the creative process too much. I find that leads me to a writing place that's not as authentic as I might be looking for. So probably my answer is yes.
And it's in there somewhere, but you're not consciously seeking to do that.
Yeah, no. I was really just like the sort of deeper themes are like belonging and what we inherit and how we document ourselves, like what's lost in translation and how things are. It's a mix of what's recorded and what's remembered. And mm-hmm. So that's the kind of place I was operating from, like, writing-wise,
right,
as opposed to sort of breaking it down to, like, metaphors or
right.
or emblems or, yeah. I'm not sure if that makes sense. But.
No, I mean, a lot of times being very specific makes something universal, right? So it carries something for other people yeah. in that specificity.
I know that when she bestowed the patron saint of hopeless causes on me, I don't think she meant it that I was a hopeless cause. I think that's the inner humor of it all. I think she was telling me like that I had someone looking out for me whenever the world felt hopeless. And that's a much different place to situate yourself metaphorically, I think.
It came from a place of hopefulness on her part.
It came from a place of protectiveness, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Writing viscerally then, Sarah, is that something you resonated with? Like, I mean, because as a songwriter, a lot of times people are kind of like an idea comes to them and they have to kind of grab it and, mm-hmm. and put it down really quickly. Did that work with you?
Yeah, I think I have a similar process where I go from the heart and the gut and just do what feels right in the moment. I wasn't trying specifically to like mirror Ivan's songs or anything. They're almost like separate stories that go together. 'Cause my stories are something like my songs come from my experience, and so I was like feeling something in Ivan's experience and relating it to myself, and that's kind of where I was coming from.
Right. Now, I mean, you're touring Trade of Time. You're playing it out. There's an ephemeral nature to these like live performances. Do you two have like intention to like record it as like a work at some point?
That's what we're hoping, because I mean, I wrote this the score for a 6-piece wind ensemble, so I would love to get it down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in the works. We're planning it out, maybe in Vancouver, because most of the band members live there, and we'd love to put it on a little EP or something at some point.
What kind of creative stretch was it for you to write for a wind ensemble?
I went to school for composition, so it was something I had done before, but since I, you know, started my songwriting career, I haven't really done any like, you know, writing down and arranging stuff, because I just haven't had time to like delve into that. So I went back and did an online course from Berklee School of Music to like refresh my memory, and then just did it, and you know, it felt like a little bit of a stretch, but also just incredibly fulfilling for me, and like really fun and inspiring.
Wonderful. Well, Trade of Time at the Park Theater this evening. Sarah, Ivan, thank you both for coming in and for performing and sharing with me.
Yeah, thank you for having
us, Michael. Yeah, show's at 8 p.m. Hope to see you there.